get ready to rock with the Big Rel Music Festival Friday night, May 3rd at Four Winds Field, downtown South Bend, featuring Seether. Saliva, Fuel, Saint Azonia, and Keith Wallen of Breaking Benjamin. Tickets start at $34 and are on sale now. Text GROWL to 46862 or go to thebiggrowl.com.
It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show. It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show. It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show.
And action. Off we go. Welcome to Here's Your Freaking Podcast with the Jason Lee Clark Show. Always, yes, you can stay up to date at any time. All things JLNK by heading over to JLNKshow.com. What do we have in store for the podcast today? Today's going to be fun because we just have a bunch of random stories that were probably unacceptable to do on the terrestrial show.
We got the thumbs down from our board of producers.
Yeah, most of these are just fucking horrible, man. You know what? I'm not even going to sell any of these stories. You know what? We're just going to jump right into it. We'll start with this one, and then it's only going to get worse from here. They took our jobs. Scientists are now one step closer to treating infertility in men.
Okay.
Now that they've successfully grown balls in a dish. Or maybe we call them Frankenbeans.
I like that kids went to school, grew up, top of their class, went off to college to grow nuts in a jar.
So far, these Frankenbeans aren't fully functional yet, but they do allow experts to further investigate it by producing artificial sperm. What?
How do you know when they're full grown?
Boy, are you hoping yours is still growing?
Well, I mean, are they like, it's like, you know, when a tomato's ripe, you pick it.
Mm-hmm.
The balls are ripe.
They say thanks to a mini 3D model of testes that can be used to study the real deal. Here's how it works. Artificial sperm cells. Why don't we just use real ones? I mean, what's the difference? Why do they have to be artificial? They say artificial sperm cells would presumably copy a man's DNA because they would be grown using his own cells. Hence, we need the balls to take care of it.
You need my own seed.
A woman at the University of Israel says that she and her team also have plans to grow fully artificial testes from stem cells.
Never stop dreaming, kids.
Weird, man. Okay.
We got it. We grew balls.
Big
celebration going on. Hey!
Summer vacation is right around the corner. Spring break, I guess, is a little closer than that. Can I interest you in the Good Vibrations Antique Vibrator Museum? Yes, you can see vibrators from days of old in San Francisco.
How old is the vibrator?
It's, how old do you think it is?
50s?
No.
Well, I mean, you needed electricity, so whenever that came along.
Well, I'm guessing probably the day after they invented electricity, they decided, well, how can we use this to, you know, jiggle our bits?
All right, I'll say 1910.
Celebrating the history of self-pleasure.
It was a horse-drawn vibrator before that.
The collection dates back to 1902.
Wow, all right, a little bit older than I thought.
Well, but they do say back in the Victorian era, all the way back in 1837, medically induced orgasms were a form of medical care that was practiced to cure, and they still, again, they haven't figured this out all the way, female hysteria.
You see, Jason, she's hysterical.
Right. I noticed we just maybe nicked a little off the top, but I mean, we have a completely... fixed it. The medical practice that then became more common on the home front with the advent of the vibrator in the early 1900s. The museum also covers the Good Vibrations Antique Vibrator Museum. Also covers how they were discreetly sold to the public to avoid obscenity laws by promoting them as ways to improve complexion, as neck massagers.
Oh,
I believe that
yes.
Still goes to this day.
Yep.
And anything else that might distract it from making it look like, you know, you put it on your giblets to make them jiggle.
She's hysterical. What's wrong with this woman?
So we go from, buzzing your groin in 1902 to modern day America, where we are now putting batteries in our penises. 73-year-old man waited 24 hours before seeking medical attention. Did you get to know how old this fucking guy is?
At that age, are you just doing it because you've sought out every thrill there is and nothing does it for you anymore?
The 73-year-old man confessed to medics that he had used batteries for self-gratification purposes.
What are we talking? AAA, AA?
Oh, my God. And then he says he never had any issues removing the batteries in the past. Well, there's a first time for everything.
Oh, so it slid up back that way.
Huh? He told doctors how, his unsuccessful attempts to fish out the 1.3 centimeter wide batteries, only to see them pushed deeper down his urethra. Oh my God. Apparently, these are button batteries.
What's the thrill?
They say the button batteries released a corrosive liquid if they become lodged in a body, which can burn through tissue and blood vessels within hours. I think I would rather have that than go to the doctor and have them try to fish it out.
It'll burn itself out.
I'm going to let it eat its way through my body, and hopefully it falls out the front.
I can't believe this guy waited 24 hours.
Doctors examining the man found that the opening in his urethra was stained black, while surgery later revealed...
It's scorched!
They treated him. The medical team that treated him said he arrived at the emergency room in pain. Yeah, I get it. And he couldn't empty his bladder properly. Oh my God! Doctors tried to grab the trio of batteries using forceps. Oh, so it was like a little mini flashlight. They tried to use forceps to remove the batteries. The patient struggled to tolerate the procedure, and eventually the pain won out, and the procedure was abandoned.
I get it.
They then operated on the man while he was under general anesthetic and successfully removed the batteries using, again, forceps. Oh, my God.
The entire time, the guy's just squealing, kill me now, Jesus.
A little side, hang on, let's finish this guy's story, and then there's a side note. Each of the batteries were coated in a black tar-like material. And his, the inside of his dong suffered extensive burns, they wrote. He was given a 2-week supply of antibiotics and discharged after 3 days. What about the mental care he's going to need when this is done? Did no one address his mental health after something like this? He came back.
What is that day like where you wake up and that's the first day you're going to put a battery in your cock?
It says he came back to the hospital 10 days later complaining of a swollen penis.
Look at the size of it. It's massive.
And a discharge. Doctors rushed him into operation. They cut into his penis.
Woo!
Which led to a large amount of pus oozing out and revealed that he had an 8-centimeter section of dead tissue within his dong. So he at least has an 8-centimeter long dong. Good for him. Which doctors removed. He doesn't have an 8-centimeter long dong anymore, so that's bad news for him.
They cut it open like a fish. We got weights and dick.
The man who suffered from ED for 3 years was also given a semi-permanent catheter to help him urinate because of his injuries. Follow-up appointment 2 weeks later showed it was healing as expected, and his catheter was removed and replaced with a different catheter, actually. He was advised against full penis reconstruction because he's 73 and look what he does with the penis he has.
He doesn't deserve
another penis.
I think at that moment where you're thinking about putting that battery in for the first time, you think maybe I need to get right with Christ.
The doctors revealed that they believe that the case is the first involving batteries and the removal of a urethra. The risk of battery acid discharge is great. Now, what I didn't know, and here's a side note, do you know what they call it?
No.
Sounding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They say sounding is when a man inserts...
typically, it's done with like an electro pulse rod.
It says sounding is when a man inserts items into the opening of his penis to enhance their sexual pleasure. It involves specifically designed tools made from glass or metal. Doctors say there's been a dramatic increase in the number of men having urethral problems due to sounding. Looking to expand their sexual activities and enhance their sexual experiences.
Dude, I'll never forget the first time I saw that on the internet, and I thought, that is all the internet I need. It was like a metal, it looks like a pen, and it's got wires attached to it, so it emits like a charge.
Men interested in the practice should understand the risks and purchase equipment from reputable businesses. They warn that the practice can damage the sensitive tissue, obviously, in the urethral pathway, which releases urine and sperm.
It seems
that's
like
actually the name of our acoustic band we play out on the weekends. Simon and Garfunkel, We Have Urine and Sperm.
It just seems like such an important part of your body to start fucking horsing around with like this. It's not a dirt bike, it's a penis.
They say it also leads to a lack of bladder control and infection, and the penis and urethra may even require surgery or implants to rebuild that sensitive tissue. Jesus.
Yes, Jason, but the pleasure could be immense.
More charges have been filed against a Penn State professor who stands accused of humping branches. The man was caught on camera at a state forest. He was doing certain illegal things to his pet.
Oh, fuck.
Fast forward to more recently, the man has been caught allegedly performing acts in public involving flowers, a lollipop, I think we know what's up with that,
yep,
and a tree branch. Officers say that the Penn State professor was arraigned last week on various charges, including disorderly conduct and open lewdness. The professor has since been released on bail. According to Penn State, by the way, he's been relieved of his responsibilities and placed on leave.
Hey, nobody wants to take my class.
Hey, the dude was humping a stick. Weird.
Are we that horny?
Speaking of schools, 25-year-old at Vanderbilt. That's a pretty smart place. Yeah. They got some fancy book learners there. His name is Mark. He was seen by seven people giving himself the business while watching porn on a library computer. We see stories like this from time to time, but it's usually a homeless man. It's not a 25-year-old from Vanderbilt. Police arrived. The report, they saw him at a computer terminal with his sweatpants pulled down and his hand in his boxers actively, and this is not something you want to attach to your name, actively masturbating. When they tried to arrest him, the 25-year-old Mark was able to slip away from the handcuffs. Thanks to an unknown substance on his hands.
Oh, he had jizz wrists.
This sucks because you're going, please let it be lube. Please let it be lube. Please let it be lube. He was eventually grabbed. His hands were washed and he was taken to jail.
Yeah, I'm all for free community internet access. But as a librarian, when somebody comes in and sits down on the computer, you're like, please let them be looking for work.
As soon as they walk in sweatpants, I'm like, oh, here's a fucking pervert. Yep. Here we go.
He's here to masturbate in my library.
Now, this is probably worse. A Texas man was caught sneaking into antique stores and putting antiques in his butt.
What, like to steal them?
Nope. Several store owners reported that the man, Mitchell Cooper Vest, walked into their antique stores, grabbed pricey items, which he then inserted into his ass.
And then what happened?
You think that takes a lot of work, right? I got to unbuckle my pants. I got to pull them down. I have to pull down my boxers. Then I have to grab an antique item. And then I have to shove it in my ass. That's a lot of work, right?
Well, you've been in an antique mall, too. There's never like 40 people in there. It's always like you and then the owners.
His task was made much easier by the fact he was wearing a kilt.
Okay. Easy breezy.
The man was also shaved head, 6 foot six, 250 pounds.
Wow, he's a big fella.
So he couldn't be like, oh, man, it wasn't me. you got a fucking bald head, you're 6'6", you're 250 pounds, you're wearing a fucking kilt.
It couldn't be more to you.
I think we have our guy. I think you're the guy.
So what, was he stealing the shit?
The items that he shoved in his ass include an antique makeup brush, an antique bottle opener, and a tobacco tent can.
Mm.
After removing them from his ass, the man would then return the items to the shelf, and he left the stores.
So this wasn't for pleasure. Oh. This is some sort of deviant, I want people to buy my poop stuff.
Hey, here's the worst part of the police report. All of the items had to be thrown away because he left traces of feces.
Oh.
That word feces is so terrible.
I thought he was going to steal them, but he was just putting them on his butt and put them back on the shelves and trick you into touching
his
poop
stuff.
He's
like, you touched my almost turd.
Yeah.
And then we have this guy, and we'll wrap up the podcast. This is Connecticut. State police have arrested. Why are there so many fucking old guys in all of these stories? Why can't they be like fucking normal age people?
It's always people's
grandfathers. We got 72. We got 60. We had one 25-year-old guy. Everybody else in this podcast today is a fucking old man doing gross stuff. 63-year-old man, Herbert Irving Miller. Miller was a pastor at the First United Methodist Church in Shelton, Connecticut.
Oh, no.
He was pulled over for a traffic stop. You're like, oh, you can't arrest me. I'm a man of God. Police saw that his registration was suspended. They're like, all right, we can let that slide, right? He didn't have insurance. And they're like, well, no, we're fucking getting somewhere, guy. Come on, man. It turns out Miller also allegedly had crystal meth.
Wow. How old is this guy?
63. Not only did he have crystal meth, he had crystal meth in rock form and liquid form in his possession. And then it gets worse.
That strikes me as too old to be fucking around with meth, man.
Cops say they received a report that Miller was dealing meth. The pastor of the local First United Methodist Church in Shelton, Connecticut, was dealing meth from his home.
I mean, you got to supplement the modest pastoral salary.
They also believe that he had been providing the drug to couples who agreed to let him watch them have meth sex.
What kind of a church is this?
Isn't that the guy that used to teach us Sunday school when we were kids?
Yeah.
Now he sells us meth and watches us home. He was arrested.
Do you get a discount on the meth? You're like, hey, if you're going to watch.
I think at that point in time, I think when you get that deep into meth where you're willing to let your pastor watch you have sex, you're not concerned about price. You're just concerned about getting your hands on the meth. That's it. Boy, is he giving us the meth, yes or no?
Hey,
yes. All right, he's going to watch us fucking for a while.
That's a willing partner, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good salesman.
Now, hear me out. We're gonna do drugs, but we're going to do it in front of a preacher, man.
Yeah, but the good news is we get the drugs. He will be back in court later this week, actually. So there you go. That's probably enough. Old dudes, what's your goddamn deal?
Hey, we're going to be old dudes someday.
I know that life doesn't always work out the way everybody wants it to be, but boy, sometimes y'all go off the deep end to try to find new ways to make things exciting.
What if this happens to us?
What do you mean, like weekly trips to Batteries Plus?
No, like we just, 20 years from now, we're old perverts. I don't want to be an old pervert.
I'm like, oh, it's an old, look at this old Skid Row tape I found at the antique store.
I'm going to shove it up my ass.
Right. There you go. That's a podcast. Good luck out there, man. Thanks for checking it out. Obviously, every Tuesday, you get a brand new episode. You can stay up to date and every episode of the podcast. Just head over to jlnkshow.com. We will see you next Tuesday.
Podcasts by Federated Media.